You're listening to the High Point Church Podcast.
What God is doing, and just there's been a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, and overwhelmingly we've just seen a positive response to our merger with River Valley. But one of the questions, one of the things that I've had on my heart as we've been walking through this journey is just a simple question: what is the church? What is the church? And for everybody, when we ask the question, something different pops in our head. For some of us, we think of a building or a place. For some of us, it's where we grew up. You know, we think of like, maybe the kind of a liturgical setting with a bald guy in a robe or something like that. For others of us, it's a place where maybe you got married. It's a place where there's significant moment in your life. For some, you'd say, well, what is the church? Well, it's a denomination. Lutherans, that's the church, or the Catholics, that's the church, or whatever denomination flavor you identify with. When we began the church, I had many different people who would ask, well, what kind of church is this? What is this church? And so, just to mess with them, because I can be a little snarky sometimes, I would say, well, we're interdenominational. Well, what does that mean, an interdenominational church? I mean, I've heard of non-denomination, but what does that mean? Well, we just have a whole lot of everybody here, and we're just all one church gathering together in one place. And people would be like, oh, well, that's cool. So people would be like, well, I'm Catholic. Well, cool, we got a bunch of Catholics, you know. Or I grew up Lutheran. Great, bunch of Lutherans in this, you know. If I were to ask, you'd be like, me, I was confirmed, you know. And so we've just got a bunch of people from a bunch of different places. But when I ask, well, what is the church, we would tend to go more toward a building or a brand than we would to what Jesus, his true definition of the church might be. And building and brands are important, but in order to really understand what the church is, we have to go back to the original word in the Greek language that the Bible uses. And it's this word called ecclesia. Bless you. It's this word called ecclesia. Just say the word ecclesia. He just said it. Just say the word ecclesia with me. Ecclesia. That's it. And it's two words together that's used 114 times in the Bible. So it's a well-used word. And it's two words together, ek and cleo. Cleo is my great-grandma's name. So ek and cleo. Ek means out from, and cleo means a people called. A people called. So you smush them together, and a people called out from. Out from what? Out from the world. And so this definition of the church, when Jesus said, hey, Peter, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, he's saying, I will build my church, my people called out from the world will gather and be built upon this rock. When Paul speaks of ecclesia in the New Testament and says to the Corinthian church things like this is God's church and this is God's people, he's saying that this is God's people called out from the Corinthian ways of doing things. They're to live differently. They're to live out from that. And so we get this picture of the church isn't just a brand. It's not just a building, but it's actually a body. And this is very important. See, the early church, if you look through church history, it began on Acts 2. It began in this moment with this group of about 120 disciples and apostles gathering in a room, praying for God's presence and what to do next because Jesus had just returned to the Father. All of a sudden, a wind fills the room, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they begin to speak in another language, and it pours out on the street, and a crowd shows up. And people think these people are drunk and everybody wants to be a part of a party. And so they show up and there's this party going on, this crowd, things are happening, and all of a sudden, all of these different people from different tribes and different tongues and different countries begin to hear the gospel in their own language. And Peter stands up. Somebody says, "Are you drunk?" Peter's like, No. These people aren't drunk like you might see. We are filled with the power of God. And he begins to tell them how they can repent of their sins, receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, and be saved. And it's in that moment that when he invites them to receive Christ, they say, "We've heard it already, the gospel in our own language." This confirms it. And all of a sudden, thousands become Christian that day. And the church went from 120 to like 3,000 in one day. Wow. Thanks, Peter. You just broke it. You know what I mean? Like, think about this. Like, when we do strategic advancement in corporations, we're like, all right, let's roll it out. Let's make sure the logistics are in place. Let's make sure the factories are in place. Let's make sure we can ship the stuff from here to there and all the logistics and pray that the snowstorms don't mess it all up. And let's supply chain this sucker out so that when we roll it out, we've got everything we need when we need it. But not God. God's like, "Hey, guys, watch this." And thousands show up and get saved the first day. And Peter's like, what do we do now? And they get together and they figure this thing out. And they begin to meet together. They begin to fellowship together. They begin to do life together. They begin to live ecclesia together, a people called out. And they all go to their independent areas, different towns, different tribes, different nations, different countries, different port cities. And they begin to live out the gospel. And Jerusalem was the centerpiece. It began to grow and they began to build infrastructure and all of the rest. And then all of a sudden, Rome outlawed Christianity. And the people who called themselves Christians were outcasts. They were rebels. They had to be on the run. They were captured and killed and tortured. And many of them were put into the Colosseum to be eaten by animals and killed by gladiators. And the church went underground. The ecclesia was the body. And they'd meet in the homes. They'd meet in little places where they could. They'd meet wherever they could. And wherever they met, they were the church. And then about 1000 A.D., we see this moment in time in history where Constantine says, hey, this is no longer an outlawed religion. This is now my religion. This is now our national religion. And Christianity became the national religion. And all of a sudden, the church became the Catholic Church, which simply means universal. It means the church. It's a really crafty brand name. Big church is basically all it means. And it was the church. There weren't different churches. It was, we're the universal church. That's what we are. Well, what's the church in Corinth? It's the church. And it all had one name. And they began to, instead of meeting in homes and all these other little places, they began to gather. And the church leadership at that point began to say, "Now build buildings." And so they did. They built cathedrals and they built little tabernacles, and they built wherever they could. They built outdoor tabernacles and indoor tabernacles, and they turned synagogues into churches, and they'd build buildings all over the Roman Empire. And it spread, and buildings became the methodology. And it was in that moment that people transformed from being the church, the ecclesia, to attending a church. And the definition of the word ecclesia went from a people set out or a people called out to a building called out or a building set out. And here in America, we have tax-free zones for the building and the property called out for churches. And it's an incredible opportunity in America. But this concept of the people went from being to attending was a very profound concept. And I think that still today, we have many Americans and many people around and many people in the Twin Cities that attend churches but aren't the church. They are a part of a church, but they're not the body. They attest to a brand and they attest to a building, but they don't truly know what it means to be ecclesia. A people set apart, a people called apart, a people who are not of this world, but they are above a higher world, a kingdom with a king whose name is Jesus, and a body, a people, a community that are you and me that are a part of that kingdom. Set out, apart, different, ecclesia. And so we have this opportunity We have this choice as we talk about a merger between River Valley and High Point. We have this opportunity to hold on to a brand and hold on to a building and hold on to the things that are familiar, or embrace something new that God has for us. Now, some of you go, well, what about this brand? Let's talk about this. Well, I love names. And I've named a few things. I've named a couple of the animals, named a couple children. I named this church. Elizabeth and I, when we were a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we began to dream about a church that could help people discover their potential, could help people find and live their high point, could help people discover Christ, and they would live differently. And so we called this place High Point. It was simply a brand. It was simply a way that people could grab a hold of what we were about and how we were going to exercise that. And we did, and it grew, and people showed up, and it was incredible, and it was a powerful thing. Now, I am a homeowner a couple times over, and in this latest home, it's a little older. I have found that one tool does not accomplish every job. It's a misnomer. Duct tape does not fix it all. I thought it did, but it doesn't. And what I've realized is there are tools that are great for small jobs and different things in different seasons, but there are other tools that you need in order to accomplish bigger jobs and bigger problems. And that's really what this is about. Buildings and brands are simply tools used by God, used by the people of God to help people identify and help people grab a hold and help people understand the gospel in a palatable and interesting way. It's simply taking the ancient and the 2,000 years of this message and just interpreting it and speaking to it in a different way to a different people. And it's a powerful tool, and we've used it well, and it's used us well, and it's been a powerful thing. But every tool has its day and its job and its end, and then a new one is picked up. And we have an opportunity as we change names from High Point to River Valley to change this out. Now, when we were naming our kids, this is kind of a fun thing. We had a few, and I don't know how you did yours. Maybe it was just darts at a billboard with a couple options, or maybe you just repeated what your father did, and it's the third and whatever. I'm a fourth, so I know how that works. But my kids, we wanted something unique, and we wanted the meaning, and we really wanted to just really name them well. And so we came out with about like two or three options, and then we weren't sure what to do. Like Lewis, we thought about Victor, and we thought about a couple other things. And so we're like, let's test this out. So let's go to a mall, and let's have somebody over here to just yell out the name, like as if we were at a waiting room or it was the first day of school or something like that, and you just yell it out, and then we'll know whether this name sticks, right? And so we're like, can you just, Victor, you think you can help me with this? So I'm going to go over there, and we're just going to pretend like we're shopping, and then in a minute, I'm going to kind of give you the, and you just yell out Victor, and just we're going to hear how that sounds, okay? And then afterwards, if I don't like that, then yell out Lewis. Can you do that? Got that? That's your job? Okay, awesome. You know what you're doing? Yeah, okay, good, good. Don't mix them up because it'll ruin the whole thing. Okay, good. That's horrible. Why would you name him that? So, and if your kids name that, that's good for you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. If you're Vic, you're like, a Vic, like what? This is my family and my thing. It's not for you. So now let's try the other one. Okay, you ready? Remember that one, number two? No, not Lewis. No, that didn't sound right, did it? No, not all right. Let's try it again. Ah, there you go, the British version. That's awesome. And that's what it is. And we did that with my son. Thank you for your help. Give him a hand. Yep. We did this with my daughter. We were like, okay, we like Josephine, and we like Violet, and we like Olivia. And then we realized some friends of ours had a dog named Josie, and we're like, that's not going to work. And it's amazing how you make these lifelong decisions, like the dog's going to outlive the daughter. But anyways, it didn't happen. The dog, like a year later, it's horrible. But we were like, all right, and then we did the same thing with Violet, and we're like, just yell at Violet, and we're like, Olivia, it sounds great. And so that's how we got our kids' names. And the name suits the person, and it was very important for us that it sounded right, it felt right, and it identifies them. And as we transform, as we shift names from one thing that suited us for a season, there's a new opportunity, because as we join forces and partner with somebody else, there's a new opportunity for us to find an identity and a tool and a resource and a value that will suit us for a new season. My name is Salvatore. You may not know that. I go by Tori because my name, well, first of all, I'm the fourth. It was very awkward around dinner time. It was great. Salvatore, we all come running. But like, if you needed distinction, it didn't work. But for me, in college, I changed my name to Tori. It's a family name, so it wasn't that big of a change. But I went by Tori because that identified me for a new season. We're in a new season. There's a change. And some of us, we go, I like what it is. Yet, guess what? I did too. It was great for the season it was. But there's a new season in this church. And I just don't want us as a church to be more inclined to the brand and to the building and miss the body. I want us to be the body. Here's my prayer for you. Here's my prayer for us. I want us to live the church. To live the church. Well, what do you mean live the church? Live the ecclesia. Live the set apart. Live as a people that are different. The early church got this. They were this. They just embodied it. It wasn't something they had to manufacture. They just were. And here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Connection groups. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was unity. There was connectivity. There was something that they had in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were just enjoying one another, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You feel that? That's a church being the church. That's a body who gets it. They eat together. They fellowship together. They live life together. They pray together. They see miracles happen together. They see awe, signs, and wonders. And the Lord adds to their number. The world around us is craving the church to be the church, to live like that. They're just craving community, not just with for community's sake. Our world does community really well. We have bars, we have community groups that get together and do things. We ski together, we jump in frozen lakes together, we run marathons together. We do all sorts of crazy things together just for the sake of being together. But we lack the purpose of the church. We miss out on community with power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that where two or more are gathered, I am in their midst. The Holy Spirit comes into the midst of them. When there is an opportunity for us to gather, we don't gather as the world gathers. We're set apart. We're ecclesia. We gather with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in the house, when the Holy Spirit is wherever we are gathered, there is power and dynamism and something wonderful about to happen. When we pray for Terry and Jessica, we don't just pray as the world prays. I send you warm fuzzies. Happy thoughts. Did you feel it? I was talking about you. Yeah, I hope it felt good, made you feel better. His heart is in pain. There is a problem that must be fixed. And we hold to a healer that when we call upon his name, we believe that with power and dynamism and unity, he will be healed. We don't call as the world calls. We're ecclesia. We're set apart. We're unique. We're different. We are the antidote that this world is craving. We don't need warm thoughts. We just need the church to live the church. We don't need fuzzies. Oh, good things to you. Nobody need that. We don't got time for that. I need you to have my back and believe in strength and power and faith that God will show up in my midst. I need it. I crave it. I can't live without it. I need the ecclesia set apart, different, to live it. So when you show up here, we don't need you just to be here. Graham, so glad you showed up. I'm here. Good. I'm glad you're somewhere. Might as well be here. No. When we gather in His name, something happens. That's what we need. That's what living the church is. How many of you were sucked into this community? Like, you didn't mean to attend here. Like, it was kind of by accident that you started attending here. You were just sucked in. It was like a polar vortex, like a vacuum. It happens all the time. It's just amazing. We had a lady. She was working, and a friend of hers was talking to her about the church and just talking about what God meant to her and what the church meant to her. And so she invited her, hey, come to my church. And so the lady showed up. And that Sunday, it was new for her. It was kind of like, well, this is interesting. People have instruments and I feel something. And typically people do. When they gather with purpose, the presence of the Holy Spirit, they feel something. They can't tell you what it is. They just feel something. That's the Holy Spirit. And so she shows up, and she meets with one of our deaconesses. And she says something that's on her heart. The deaconess prays. They pray, and life moves on. That week, something happens. And she calls her friend. She says, hey, you know that thing I was really concerned about? Well, it turned out okay, and this is what happened. Da-da-da. And the lady, the friend says, hey, you know our deaconess prayed for you, and that's the exact thing, and it happened? Like, God answered your prayer? She was like, no. Wow. I didn't realize that. Well, I'm coming back. And so she's been like coming back ever since. It's been months that she's been coming back. And at J-Term, we were doing life together. We were in community, being ecclesia, living the church together. And my wife comes up to her, hey, so good to have you. I know you're new here. It's just so good to have you part. She goes, uh-uh. No, I wouldn't miss this. This is my family. Did it. You were the church. And the church just sucked her in. That's how it works. It's just the vacuum effect of the presence and power of God. And we must live the church. And if we don't live the church, the world misses out. Because there's more. You work with them. Some of them are in your home. They're in your neighborhood. And they are desperate for the antidote that we have. If we just be the church, just live the church. Scripture says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we merge from one church to the next church. We the same church. It's just ecclesia, the body being the body. We need to serve the church. Well, what do you mean? Here's what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes this. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, you stink. I don't need you. No. When we are the body, we have purpose. We have value. When we live as not trying to be one person or one thing, but as we grow in our security and how God made us, we realize our value and the body, and we can be the body of Christ because we all have a different role and a different part to play. I've had some people come to me and go, well, you know, River Valley's really big. And so, are they going to need me anymore? You know, we have a guy, you probably don't know, but we have a guy who comes in every Tuesday for like the whole day. And he types in the connection cards, and his name is Joe. And Joe types in the connection cards, and he like knows our church management software way better than I do. Like, I ask him questions, and he's like, no, silly, is this? I'm like, wow, I didn't know it could do that. And Joe does all sorts of things around this place. Nobody sees him. Nobody knows him, but you feel his effects. We have another lady. She's been coming here, and she has stuffed almost every bulletin you have ever put your hands on in the last, like, 2 years. I mean, it's been awesome. She didn't know English very well when she started, and now she's, like, running the program. She's laying it out. She's doing all the stuff. She's, like, she's serving, and nobody knows. You feel her effects, but you don't know what she's doing. And we have another people all the over this place that they do things that you wouldn't even necessarily see, but they're serving, they're acting, they're being the church. And guess what? The mission and the purpose of this place only grows, which means there are more opportunities for you to serve. It is likely, it is probable, it will happen that this church will expand rapidly in the next few years. And we have an opportunity. Are we going to just go, I don't know if you need me. Or are we going to go, no, we need you more. We have more need of you. We have more opportunity for you. We have more places for you to jump in. There are greater opportunities to try. So some of you go, well, where do you want me? Just start doing what you see there's a need. And as you start doing what the need is, guess what? People will start joining you. And as people start joining you, we be the church. We are the church. We serve the church. We live the church. And this place grows. It's powerful. River Valley did a merger like this with a church down in Savage. And the Johnsons were founding members. They were part of there in the very beginning. So they knew what it was to be portable in a school and set up and tear down. And they brought the stuff in and they brought the stuff out. And they brought the stuff in and they brought the stuff. I mean, they were there. And we ran into Pam last night. And they were 5 years as like Stonebridge Church or something like that. And then they merged to River Valley. And then they got a job at River Valley because they were just being faithful. And they've moved campuses several times over, but they keep going back to Savage. There's now 900 people at the Savage campus. They've just bought 12 acres of land. They're going to build a new auditorium and move out of their warehouse space that looks almost identical to this one. And they said, I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you. Because when we started that church, we had dreams of filling the place. And now when we go back, she looked at her husband and she said, now when we go back, we just stand back and cry and go, God, we're so good. It looks different. It's got a different name, but it just happened. The dreams we have for this place will take a whole lot more people to serve, to pull it off, because there are more people to be reached. There are more lost people who don't know Jesus. There are more people out there who are in desperate and dire need for the church, the ecclesia, the community with power, the called apart people who will be something different than they can get anywhere else. And as you step out, and as you serve, and as you live the church, then we will see more opportunities for people to come to Christ. We're going to start Alpha here in the next few months, probably the summer or fall. Alpha is an incredible opportunity for people who are discovering God to come and ask questions, and people are going to find Christ. We're going to start a youth ministry. There's a guy hired, he's called Family Life, basically youth pastor, who will show up here, and he will be the Pied Piper. And he will call out the people from South St. Paul High School, from Sibley High School, from Simley High School, from all around the street. And his entire job is to pack this place out with students. I'm so excited about that. We have tried several times over the past few years, and guess what? Maybe this time we'll blow the doors off this place. And I'm praying and believing that we just fill this place with students on a regular basis. We're going to start a thing called sisterhood. I don't really know what that is. I assume it's with ladies. There may or may not be pants that travel around. But I'm really excited about it. And we need you to help us get it off the ground and tell me what it is. Because it's sisterhood and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have men's events and guys' things and all sorts of things. We might even start Celebrate Recovery to help people in their addiction recovery. It's coming. It's coming. And we need you. Because you're the church. And we're going to reach people by our service. As we finish up here, love the church. Love the church. We'll love the brand if you need to. Love the building. I hope not, because you know what? We got a lease on this sucker, and it was already built in. We were going to leave. You're like, but we just got here. I just paid it. I just did all this stuff. Yes, and it was a tool, and it was worth it, and it was necessary, and we will be here for many more years. But we may change the paint color. We may change the wall structure. We may change the layout. We may change where people meet and greet and what we do. We may blow this wall out and add more space. I don't know what we'll do, but guess what? The building isn't sacred. The body is sacred. And we don't love the building, we love the body. We love one another, we love this place. And the scripture says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved who? The body, the ecclesia, and gave himself up for her. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body. Every time I do a wedding, they do this incredible thing where, like, the guy can't see the gal, and she dolls up. It'll probably be like, she may never look this good again. I'm just saying. It's not a critique. She's got a billion-dollar dress. Her makeup's all blue. Her hair's all, you know what I mean? Like, she just may never look that good again. And the guy stands here, and every time, I like to peek around the corner, every time he's like, he hasn't seen her, and she walks in, and it's like, oh. And he's like an idiot, just like every guy just turns into just dopey, you know, and they do that, and she walks in like on a cloud, like, and she's gorgeous, and he's like, right decision, yes, there's coming a day. When Jesus is coming back for his bride. And he will stand there triumphantly as the groom. And he will wait for her. And she will come. Who? The building? No. The brand? No. The body will come glorious, sparkling and shining, gleaming because they have been redeemed and set free of their sin and liberated, and we will have never looked so good. It's my job as pastor of this place to beautify his bride as best as I know how. To do everything I can to add to the body, to bring others into the body, to love the body. And when we love, when we care, when we love this place, when we love one another, when we embrace new people and bring them in and suck them into the community, we're beautifying his bride. And I love the way you look, but I have bigger plans for you than just what 8 years has produced. And the body is not finished. The bride is not quite ready for the groom. And someday Jesus will come, and I want this place to be slam-packed beyond its borders with people who say, I found Jesus here. So I ask you a question. Why do you love this church? I came out of my shell here. I met my wife here. I was infertile, and now I got 3 kids. It's amazing. I was freed from my addictions here. I found a place to serve. I found community. I found family. I found friendships. I was alone, and I found hope here. Guess what? None of that changes. And the very thing that you found here, the world is in dire need of. And so I say, let's live the church. Let's love the church. Let's serve the church. And let's be the church for those who have yet to experience what we treasure so much right here. Does that resonate with you? And if we do that, then just as the early church in Acts 2, verse 47, just when Peter preaches, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what it's about. That's what all of this is about. That's why you're here. That the Lord may add to our number. That one beggar may tell another beggar where they found bread. That one who is thirsty may tell another who is thirsty where they found water. That we would be the church. We would love the church, serve the church, and we would live the church. Would you stand with me if that's the kind of church you want to be? Grab the hand of the person next to you and let us pray. Jesus, we are yours. This hand to my left, this hand to my right, we are one body. We're united. We are your bride. And Father, we pray that you would bring others to this body. Lord, we surrender our idea of what the church is, and we embrace your ecclesia, your desire for us to be a people set apart, called apart, to live under your banner and under your kingdom and under your namesake. And we declare ourselves the church. And Father, we place ourselves under your servanthood. Where two or more gathered, I pray that as we leave this place, your spirit would dwell. Wherever we go, wherever we meet, at work, at a ball game, at lunch, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Father, let us live the church as the early church did, and may it attract those who are far from you. In your name we pray, Jesus. We surrender ourselves to you. We are changing your pockets. Spend us as you will, and may we make you proud as your servants until your return, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.